Hello, hello, everyone. All right, we just invited Trent and Oasis to speak. Hey, everyone. We're just going to wait a couple more minutes to see who's joining. See a lot of hearts and hands. Hey, Wondercliff. Hey, Belisa. Nice to see familiar faces here. Hello, hello, hello. All right, can we just do a quick round of tests with the speakers to see if everything is working? Maybe just starting from Trent and then Matei.
Hello, testing.
Perfect.
Hey, how's it going?
Loud and clear. Amazing. All right, I guess we can just wait 2 more minutes. Give everyone the chance to see that the space is on and join. And then we're just going to start and talk about Predictor and Oasis. Okay, everyone. Without further ado, we've had, I guess many of you were aware that we met with Oasis and a lot of the community members in Berlin last week. Ocean had, as you all probably know, strong roots in Berlin. So it was really good to see a lot of you in person for the first time. And also, for those of you that weren't in Berlin, we're trying to make it easier for everyone to know where the team is moving to what conferences we're going, so it'd be really nice to connect with everyone else in real life. So the plan for today, we're going to be having a presentation from Trent, 5 minute presentation, going through the insights of Predictor, key features and benefits, and then we're gonna have Matei having a presentation on why Oasis Safari plays a huge role in Predictor. And then we're also going to open up to questions. We've collected some of the questions from the community, but you guys please feel free to write any questions in the chat. And if you want to speak, I think there's a button at the bottom left. Just feel free to press on it, and you guys can come on the stage and have a chat directly with Trent and Matei. Perfect. So. I'll just kick things off, introducing Trent, and then passing the mic directly to you, Trent, if you want to give a quick intro on Predictor.
Sounds good. So, Andrea, were you going to do an intro or anything, or do you want me to just jump right into it?
Yeah, so, I mean, feel free. Mic is yours, and really, really looking forward to hear more about Predictor.
Okay, all right. So, hi, everyone. Thanks for joining us. Great to see people from both the Ocean community and the Oasis community, and with this really fruitful collaboration that we've had so far, and look forward to a lot more deepening that over time. So Predictor, at the very highest level, is a dApp and a stack for prediction feeds. Prediction feeds are a new type of primitive. You can think of them as a DeepPy primitive, but they're also useful to, pure Web 1, Web 2 folks too and stuff for their uses. And these prediction feeds are data streams, data feeds, for everything from weather predictions to traffic predictions to energy predictions to DeFi token price predictions. These feeds are generated in a crowdsourced fashion. So we've set up an incentive structure inside a smart contract on Oasis. Matthew will get into that. We've set up an incentive structure in a smart contract that incentivizes people to submit predictions, and they get paid based on the accuracy of those predictions and how much they have staked against those predictions. That's the heart of it. And what this does over time is it incentivizes people to, well, be more accurate, right? If you're inaccurate consistently, then you will lose money. And if you're accurate consistently, you'll make money. So over time, there will be more and more accurate people, more and more accurate predictions with higher and higher stake against this. And what this leads to is the concept of accountable prediction feeds. And I'll get into the problem here. So I grew up on a farm. My father and mother and family, we grew wheat and barley and canola and pigs. But for the grains, we would listen to the radio all the time, especially in seeding and harvest. We were just glued to the radio. And the reason is every hour on the hour and every half an hour in between, the radio would have a weather forecast. And it would say, you know, there's a 10% chance of rain, a 50% chance of rain, whatever. And that knowledge would make a huge difference on what our actions would be in the next 1 hour, 5 hours, day. Because if it was a high chance of rain and we were in the field, it's like, got to get those vehicles, those tractors and combines out of the field before they get stuck in the mud and tear up the crops, et cetera. Or to flip it around, if we knew that it wasn't going to rain and we weren't out in the fields yet, then we would take action to go into the fields, assuming, you know, everything else would work out. So we lived and breathed by those forecasts for the rain. Similar thing for temperature. You know, you don't want your crops to freeze. You don't want your vegetable garden to freeze, all of that. And here's the thing. If the weatherman was wrong, they're like, oh, so sorry. But, you know, it didn't really affect them financially, but it sure affected us financially, right? Thousands of dollars, tens of thousands of dollars, et cetera. So what if the weatherman could be held accountable in some fashion for how accurate they are? What if there were incentives to be more accurate versus not, and disincentives to be inaccurate? And that's what we call the idea of an accountable, accurate prediction feed, where you have proper incentives to be correct. And in our case, you know, you stake on the predictions. If you are accurate, then you make money. And if you're inaccurate, you lose money. As simple as that. So that's the heart of it. And in terms of the use cases, I've given a very high level overview. We are starting in the world of DeFi. Why? Because overall, it is the shortest path for people to make money, and we want people to be able to make money in our ecosystem. And also, it's a large market, right? It's a large addressable market, et cetera. And within DeFi, we are going for crypto token price prediction. There's lots of things beyond that, even within DeFi, but that's what we're starting with. So right now, we have our testnet live, and it has 5-minute feeds for the price of Bitcoin, ETH, and the other top 10 tokens that aren't stable coins or stable assets. And so every 5 minutes, people can submit predictions for 5 minutes from now. And then 5 minutes from now, the true value is reported. And if it's correct, then the people that predicted correctly would make money. And if not, they don't. Anyone can come along and buy these predictions and use them to trade against or use otherwise, right? You can use them as DeFi primitives for higher level dApps, for derivatives and options and other sorts of synthetics. So we started with that, but we do have our sights on other use cases beyond as well, within DeFi and also beyond for things like weather and energy and so on. So yeah, that's what Predictor is about. And I'm sure I know there's lots of questions, so I'll just stop there and pass off the mic and maybe back to Andrea or to Matteo. Maybe Andrea takes it from here.
Yeah, actually, just I know there's probably a lot of questions from the community, but maybe just one question for you, Trent, right now would be, so who is Predictor for? Is it correct to say that it's for trader and data scientists, or am I missing someone as well?
Yeah, the two stakeholders in the ecosystem, the two main ones are predictors. Those are people that are data scientists that are using building AI models to make predictions, right? And these models make predictions every 5 minutes for the 5-minute feed, 60 minutes for the 60 minutes feeds, et cetera. That's one, the data scientist. And the second is traders, typically people who buy the feeds, consume them, And you can think of it as when they're consuming those feeds, that's alpha towards trading. And you could have a very naive, simple trading strategy. You know, if the prediction says price go up, then you buy, and then you sell 5 minutes later. And if the prediction says price go down, then you sell or short, and 5 minutes later you exit your trade. So that's a summary. There's, of course, you can have more complex strategies. You can do other things with this, but that's really the very heart of it. And Predictor was designed and conceived really, really to focus on helping people in the ocean ecosystem and beyond make money, right? If you can make money in this, then you can be sustainable over time and, you know, grow. And, you know, in ocean, we are, the whole aim of ocean is to kickstart an open, permissionless data economy. And so within this, you know, it's an economy, so you have to have buying and selling of data feeds that are truly useful. And that's why we have zoomed in on Predictor, where it is, you know, DeFi is a large market. You can have turnaround times of 5 minutes or less to make money. And there's lots of room to expand beyond that.
Interesting. And so, yeah, trader, data scientist, and you also mentioned that it's basically a set of smart contracts. So does that mean that if I'm not in the ocean ecosystem, but I still want to use Predictor as, you know, kind of the smart contracts underlying, can I use them to build anything on top of it?
Well, to be precise, right, you don't have to be, what does it mean to be in the ocean ecosystem anyway, right? So overall, anyone can use those smart contracts. They can deploy their own prediction feeds. So we have one prediction feed, one smart contract deployed for Bitcoin, USDT, 5 minutes on Binance. We have another smart contract deployed for ETH, USDT, 5 minutes on Binance, and another 8 for the other 8 tokens mentioned. So that's what we have right now. And, you know, we're in the process of deploying for 60 minutes. These are all on testnet, but those will go to mainnet in 3 weeks. So people can deploy ones for, you know, energy prices in Yukon, Canada, or whatever they want, right? And that's fine. And that's using Ocean Stack. And of course, it's all permissionless, et cetera, right? No one can block you from doing any of this. You can just do it. And so that's one way is you can... you know, deploy your own feeds. You could work with the Ocean team to work with some of the feeds already or have your hand held to deploy other feeds. And you can build other apps on top too, right? You know, just like people are using Chainlink oracles, which are basically, price feeds, et cetera, of the current price. Think of these as future oracles. It's price feeds, et cetera, of the price 5 minutes from now, right? And in our case, we're going for up, down rather than a continuous value. So think of it, yeah, like future oracles as a new sort of DeFi primitive. But in Chainlink, you know, there's, you know, tens, if not hundreds of different applications out there using it in all these various ways. And we anticipate that Predictor over time will be used in a lot of variety of applications as well.
Thank you, Trent. Yeah, I'm actually quite amazed. Oracles 2.0 sounds pretty exciting. All right, so let's pass to Matej. Gonna pass the mic to you. Just a quick reminder, maybe to everyone here. If you guys have any questions, no questions is a bad question, by the way. So feel free to type them in the chat, and then we're just gonna go through all of them after Matej. Matej, mic to you.
Thanks, Andrea. And yeah, I like the analogy Trent just made about Oracle's 2.0, because Oracle's are basically a vital infrastructure within crypto, right? So I can see Predictor becoming one of the crucial infrastructures in the future as well. And maybe just one more note on what Trent said, you know, that you don't have stablecoin prediction markets. Maybe last year in certain times, that would be quite useful. But yeah, let's not get into that. I'm just going to speak briefly about how Predictor, you know, and privacy are related, because I mean, in crypto, we can see that, you know, everything kind of is usually incentivized, you know, for people to take action, it either being liquidity providing, you know, or some other type of data farming or stuff like that, right? People need to have incentives, and people, you know, to provide good predictions, accurate predictions, even though that you have accountability on one side, you need to have incentive on the other side, right, as well. If all the predictions would be public, then how would you incentivize that in the long term? You can do it in the short term with some subsidies, but long term, there needs to be a market for it, a demand for it, and in order to keep those private, right, with the transparency of the blockchain, you need to have something like Sapphire, which does enable, you know, private smart contract storage, private compute. And I think this is one of the crucial components of Predictor. I think Trent in the past mentioned already that this could be done in a fully centralized infrastructure, but I think that would completely defeat the purpose of permissionless, you know, and the crypto ethos that everybody's striving for. Plus, I think crypto and blockchain space are all about composability, right? So why try to do everything yourself? You know, try to do what you do best, and that's data for Ocean for sure, you know. And we partner with Ocean to help on the privacy side, which is our focus, right? So this collaboration of the crypto space is what really where I really see a bright future, right? And how privacy is crucial, right? In order to monetize the predictions, right, and have the fully full transparency and verifiability of predictions, you utilize a blockchain like Sapphire, where you can privately store the basically the prediction in a smart contract directly, right? Because Sapphire enables private smart contract state. And then also because we enable full compute, right, you can compute on the aggregated predictions within Sapphire. And then, you know, the aggregated predictions are revealed only to the subscribers, so they are able to see the predictions and then make the trades and try to monetize on those predictions, right? So I think this is, yeah, in this case, one of the crucial aspects to help with the adoption, you know, with the, of Predictor, because you know, the incentives are aligned all on the input side with predictors and on the output side with the traders, right? So I would say that, yeah, it's great to see, you know, Oasis has been utilized, that Ocean is a great team of developers that came up with the project. So we're happy to see it deployed on our network, right?
Thank you, Matej. And yeah, you said something about, you know, everything being, you know, it's about composability and collaboration, right? So we're actually super excited to be collaborating on the privacy aspect. You also mentioned that, you know, prediction data are kept private in the smart contract. Could you elaborate on this and maybe just try to explain maybe better what are the pre-existing conditions that needs to be met such that this feed can then be shared?
Yeah, so basically, smart contracts on Oasis Sapphire enable private storage, right? So the encrypted data from the user side is sent to the smart contract, right? And then it's stored in the trust execution environment, right? In the TEs that are ran by our validators. And even our validators don't see the actual content without the key management, key manager, I mean, without the keys that the key manager set is holding, right? And this is a separate quorum, right? So once they need to do something, compute, they get the key, they, everything happens within the secure enclave on the CPU. Currently, it's done in Intel SGX. That's how you ensure you can have, you know, private storage, private compute without anybody really seeing your data.
That's interesting. Okay, interesting. Let me see if there's any questions from the community. Maybe for you, Matej. You know, prediction can actually affect our normal business plan. So what accuracy or percentage do you think we can rely on prediction? So, and the other question is, what factors influence the accuracy? Okay, so we've got two similar questions. I'm not sure who to direct this, but you guys feel free to pick it. Basically, what are the factors that are influencing predictions and how accurate predictions can get over time?
I leave this one to Trent.
Sure. So thank you for the question. By background, before we even embarked upon working on Predictor, we had seen that DeFi made sense as a good first use case. And so we started doing research on this more than a year ago, actually, with a data scientist working house. And myself, too, I come from the world of AI and machine learning since the late 90s. So, you know, I have the deep experience there. And after intensive research over several months' time frame, we started to get accuracies that we liked, accuracies that we knew that if they were feeds, then they would be of great interest to traders who are looking for alpha. And in the world of traditional finance, if you can be accurately predict up versus down with even say 50.5% accuracy, you know you can make money. Assuming, and that's of course assuming that you have no slippage and zero fees. And then, so whatever you, of course there is slippage and there is real fees in TradFi trading and DeFi trading. So your accuracy has to be sufficiently high to overcome that as well. And that you might need an extra 0.5% or an extra 10% depending on which feed you're going for and which market you're in. So but generally, you know, basically if you have predictions that meet those criteria, i.e., you know, more than 50% accurate and high enough above 50% that you overcome the issues with slippage and order book fees. And, you know, slippage can look like order book, slippage and trading fees. And you can view slippage as trading fees or vice versa. They're sort of flip sides of the same coin. If you can be high enough, then you can do well. So with our internal tests, we were doing a lot of tests on 5 minutes ahead and on 60 minutes ahead quite intensively. And we continue to do that. And our accuracies tend to be between 53% and 65%, depending on the feed, depending on the time interval, depending on the exchange, et cetera. And so for us, we were actually pretty amazed that it was, you know, not just 0.5% more, but sometimes quite a lot more. It tends to be, though, the things that are more predictable tend to have higher slippage as well. But overall, this is readily enough to make a feed from, of course. And so rather than making that feed and shipping it ourselves directly, we decided to turn this into a crowdsourced feed such that the whole community can participate. So that's part of the question. Yeah, the accuracy, like to summarize, 53 to 65%. Right now, those of you who have been playing with a predictor at all, we have random bots running. So people might see that it's 48% or 52% or whatever. That's just randomness over the last 24 hours. But we're going to be putting the non-random bots in there soon. We just haven't turned them live on yet. You know, we're still testing, et cetera. And the stuff, you know, we will always be running something from OPF when mainnet goes live, such that there's a good baseline prediction all the time, all the time, all the time. Then the question, the other part of the question was, what are the inputs that go into this? So the baseline input is, let's say you're predicting Bitcoin USDT on Binance. So the main thing is, and that's the closing price, you know, every 5 minutes. So the main thing for sure, you want to have the previous closing prices. And with historical data typically going back at least 1 or 2 years, sometimes more, sometimes shorter. And it can be just closing prices, but you can also have all of the OHLCV, right? Open, high, low, close volume. And you can do not just Bitcoin, but you can do ETH and DOT and Doge and several others too, and this it tends to help as well. And so you can have those coming in. You can also have inputs not just from the exchange at hand, but from other exchanges. Not just the base pair at hand, you know, not just say Bitcoin USDT, but also Bitcoin TUSD, Bitcoin BUSD, et cetera. So there's lots of different possible inputs, and that's just price signals. You can also calculate derivatives from that, you know, typical financial derivatives, things like volatility and things like that. Moving averages, all of these, right? And there's actually some nice off-the-shelf Python libraries for this too, for technical indicators, basically, right? Beyond that, you know, you can use whatever data you want. You can grab, you know, the Twitter fire hose, although it's highly expensive, and from that compute sentiment data or other things. There's lots of on-chain data, there's GitHub data, there's Telegram data, there's Discord data, there's tons and tons of different data. And the way that we see it is all of this is interesting to try, but before trying any of that, what you want is you want a feed that you can create that is valuable, and that's what Predictor is. It is the final step of the data supply chain, because once with that final step, people buy that and trade against it and make money. Once you as a predictor are making money by supplying this, helping to supply to this feed for predictions, then you can work backwards and fill in other signals that come in beyond just basic price data and maybe some technical indicators. You can go and take the time, and that will give you an edge compared to other predictors if you do a good job and pull in other data. So Predictor is designed to be that final step of the data supply chain, And then over time, the rest of this data supply chain will flesh out, and hopefully more and more of it being decentralized too, leveraging this emerging compute, decentralized compute, et cetera. So yeah, that's the summary, 53 to 65%. The basic inputs are simply price signals, but there's a lot of other potential inputs too.
If I can just add, yeah, I think the accountability here plays a huge role, right? Because it's often said, you know, that the, especially in trading, the crowd is always wrong, right? And it always goes the opposite direction. So I think here, the accountability basically filters out the predictors that are not correct, right? And that's, I think, how your accuracy also will increase. People that are predominantly correct will stay because they will be making money, and the people that are more consistently wrong will be losing money, and then obviously it would probably leave, right?
That's exactly it. Yeah, that's the heart of this idea of accountable accuracy, right? So, I mean, people can try to game it for a while just to try to mess with things, but it's going to get very expensive very quickly, especially exactly. The people who are accurate are staking a lot, right? So whoever's being inaccurate is going to have very deep pockets for a long time. So, and everyone else is going to make money from that deep pocketed person, right? Because if you're wrong, you get slashed and all the other predictors make the money. So, exactly. Whoever wants to come in and, you know, dump money into that ecosystem, go for it.
We're getting quite a few questions. Nice. So maybe for Mate here, Predictor, is it being developed on Sapphire completely, or is it using OPL technology for privacy? I guess OPL here means Oasis privacy layer, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, yes. That's actually quite a good question. So Predictor currently is deployed natively on Sapphire. But I think we were discussing with Trent in Berlin that we will see, you know, how things go. And there is also a potential to use it via OPL. So maybe it's then possible to bring it to other chains. But I think for the initial launch, it was just easier to deploy it natively on Sapphire, deploy the contract there and use it as it is out of the box. Because, you know, OPL introduces another layer of the messaging bridge, which is currently with SellerIM, done with SellerIM. But I think, yeah, that might be a possibility in the future, but I'm not the one to speak here, you know, if Predictor will be utilizing voice privacy layer or not. But yeah, currently it's on, it's native on Sapphire.
Thanks, Mate. And maybe to Trent, you know, there's a community member that is wondering whether Predictor will become available on other blockchain network in the future. So maybe here you've got some insights. Trent, you may be unmuted.
Yeah. Thanks, I wasn't muted. So overall, Predictor is built in the Ocean stack. It's one of the reasons we were able to build it and ship it relatively quickly. So each one of those data feeds that I mentioned is actually an Ocean data token, right? So, and a data NFT. So for example, Bitcoin USDT is, you know, 5 minutes on Binance is a data NFT published on Sapphire. And then that data NFT has an ERC-20 data token against it. And with it, that ERC-20 data token, you can, it's set up to where you can buy subscriptions, where it's, three Ocean for 24 hours for a subscription to that feed, right? We could, of course, have pricing where it's, you know, a subscription for 1 month, you pay more, et cetera, et cetera. We could have dynamic pricing in the future, all of that, but that's what we're starting with. So overall, this is using the Ocean stack. And because it's Ocean stack has been all developed on EVM. Right. EVM, when we were building Predictor, we had very specific privacy needs. We, as Mate was talking about, you know, we needed privacy for those individual submissions. We needed privacy for those, the final aggregated value. And then we also needed privacy for the compute going from the individual submissions to aggregate to the final value. If any one of those three things leaks, then the value is gone because people can get the stuff for free. But, you know, we really want this thing to be paid. So then you can ask, how do you get to privacy? We did a bunch of prototypes with a bunch of different technology pieces. We are working with homomorphic encryption, on-chain and off-chain, MPC, threshold cryptography, various forms of encryption and decryption, off-chain, on-chain as well, many things. And by far the cleanest and best solution was with a privacy preserving chain. And of course, because we're EVM, we needed a privacy preserving EVM. There's exactly one privacy preserving EVM in production, and that is Oasis Sapphire. So, you know, we are overjoyed, you know, that the Oasis team built this. And, you know, they've been excellent collaborators as we were building this out and testing it. And so for right now, we are building and shipping on Oasis. And, you know, just going to keep focusing on that right now. And we will see where this takes us. But there's nothing else even in, you know, for many quarters, as far as we can tell, that is privacy-preserving EVM. Of course, you know, it's such a useful technology that other ones will come. But right now, the name of the game is Oasis, and they've been great collaborators.
Thank you, Trent. And touching upon Oasis, again, you know, we spoke about Predictor as one major use case for these privacy-preserving chain. But I was wondering, Matej, would you like to cover maybe a couple of use cases here that can be built on Sapphire?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, the thing is that I think it's coming now more to fruition with more people, you know, that privacy is a need even in the transparent blockchain world, right? And you have some maxes that are want everything completely transparent, and on the other side, some people want it completely private, right? But we know that there's a middle ground, you know, for everything, and with Sapphire, you can have that flexibility, right? So with fees, you know, in contrast to like ZKs or other private tech that's popular, right? Here you have general compute basically, right? And you can do a lot of different things. So gaming is a very very good sector to utilize a lot of the privacy features that Sapphire offers, right? Because currently the games mostly that are coming from, let's say, the Web2 space, are leaving a lot of the logic on just their own servers, right? And they're just adding like maybe tokens or NFTs to the game to make it like a Web3 game, right? But we know that, you know, the way forward is to have it permissionless on chain, right? And verifiable as well, right? So you know that there's nothing shady going on the server to prevent you from winning, let's say, certain items or stuff like that, right? And this can be achieved by using, you know, Sapphire for, let's say, fog of war things, you know, NPC role plays, then for any like treasure hunts, you know, or let's say drops of like add-ons, you know, for certain games or stuff like that. So gaming is a very big sector that can utilize a lot of features. NFT markets as well, right, where you have confidential NFTs that can store certain data that's big, let's say it's private, right? And you have the public metadata. And this can be applied in the crypto space as well as in real world cases, right? Where I know ticketing gets mentioned a lot of times, you know, for the confidential NFTs, you know, where the owner can have the access to the actual ticket in the confidential part of the NFT. Then you can have like sealed bid auctions, you know, where you can have like true price discovery of items without everybody seeing everybody else's bids, you know, and just coming in the last second and outbidding the latest winning person, right? So these are kind of two that are more in the gaming NFT space, right? But you also have on key management solutions, right, where you can have basically keys for encrypted data that's on either decentralized storage or on AWS, Google Cloud service, right? And you can easily manage access to those files without even revealing the keys, right? So I would say the use cases are pretty broad and numerous, right? It's just a matter of finding the right people that will take it, you know, and build the applications.
Thanks, Matej. Super insightful. I'm checking at the questions right now. So we have decentralized CEO requested to speak. I'm trying to give you permissions, but it's still saying it's connecting. So it looks like it's not letting you on stage for some reason. So if you could try perhaps again, And then we're receiving a couple questions in the chat as well on Predictor. And this is quite of an interesting one. It's requesting to give us a quick journey as a trader from when you purchase a data feed to when you're actually executing a trade upon the knowledge given from the feed, right? Could you try and maybe give an example on what the journey looks like? Oop, I see Trent requested the speaker slot. Okay. I think we're having some issues with the speakers. Great. Invite to co-host. Let's send a co-host invite. Should work. Trent, I just sent you the co-host invite. Okay, cancel that. Invited you as a speaker. Should work now. Okay, let's see. Let's just wait a second for Trent to come back.
Yeah, these are always fun.
I know.
Maybe I can mention one more use case that I didn't. You know, decentralized identity is becoming quite a hot topic. And I think that's one of the good use cases for on-chain privacy as well, right? Because imagine if you'd be able to, you know, grant every access and then revoke it, you know, for your private data, and even not reveal the entirety of your data, but just like Boolean answers if you're above 18 and not revealing that you're 25, but, you know, just yes or no answers. Or if you are you not a resident of this in this country, and it just says yes and it passes you through, right? So on-chain, through on-chain DID is a very, very good use case, you know, that we're looking for partners, you know, to be built on Sapphire as well.
For sure. And in terms of resources, say you're a developer looking to build on Sapphire, what kind of resources do you guys have available mostly for developers?
Yeah, so we have a few demo dApps, you know, where they can kind of try it out and look at the code and how things are being done for OPL use cases like the secret ballot, or more native use cases, we have this Riddle or RNG functionality through the Oasis Fog Wheel. But we have all the docs that they can find. It's doc.oasis.io. And we are also running a hackathon right now. So I think it's finishing up the first week of October. So if anybody has a good use case or utility for, you know, Sapphire, OPL, any privacy, on-chain privacy dApp, you know, we're happy to see them submit, you know, and maybe they win a prize.
Thanks, Matej. Okay, cool. So we have Trent, I think, joining from a different account, requested to speak. Let me see if I can add Trent now. Perfect. Let's give it a shot now. Trent, welcome back with the Token Spies account. You're on mute now.
Okay. Hi, guys. I'm now Token Spies. Yeah, Twitter kicked me from my other account, so be it. So I'm a tornado, not a robot now. And I actually, to be honest, I forgot what the question was. Can you summarize? Just jog my memory, and then I'm happy to answer.
Yes. So the question was just, you know, if you could give us an example on the typical trader's journey from when you're actually buying the feed to when you're executing the trade.
Yeah, happy to. So overall, actually, if you go to predictor.ai, that's the website, and that is linked from oceanprotocol.com, you know, in the call to action, it's a button, but predictor.ai, two O's. On the top right of that, there's a button that says run bots. And that takes you to a GitHub repo, PDR backend, and the README of that repo, which you see front and center, has two main links right at the very top. One is to run a predictor bot to do predictions, and one is to run a trading bot. So to the question of trading bot, you click on that button and it takes you to a README to walk through and run a trading bot. And basically what this amounts to is clone that GitHub repo. It's got some very simple scripts to basically run a Python script in a loop, you know, repeat over and over and over. And it will listen for the predictions. And when a new prediction comes along, it will then simply buy. You know, if prediction says up, then it will buy. And if prediction says down, it will sell. And then it always exits the trade 5 minutes later. So it's a very simple, naive trading strategy that people can get going with. And it's set up where you can run and test locally against a local chain like an Ash. But then you can also run against the testnet or production chain, and then run, instead of on your local machine with a Python script, you can run it on Azure. And we have the README includes showing all of that stuff too. So that's the journey to be a trader this way. If you wanted, you know, you can do it also sort of the simplistic, naive way. It'll just, you know, be very manually intensive, which is you can, you know, within the GUI itself of predictor.ai, you buy the feed, right? You click buy, and then it'll show you visibly what's happening. And every 5 minutes, a new prediction will pop in for each feed that you've bought, right? And if you wanted, you could just have, you know, your Binance window open there and just buy when it says going up and sell when it says going down, right? Or whatever strategy you want. And of course, you know, this is not financial advice. We're not financial advisors. Everything's at your own risk, DIYOR, blah, 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 right? So that's basically how you get going. You know, you can play around with it at first, you know, with just a separate window with Binance. And then over time, though, you probably want to have your own bot. So you can start with this simple repo, but then, of course, you can fork it and change it however you want to be more and more sophisticated, right? Things like, you know, if the price jumps up a lot after, say, 2 minutes in, then sell, right? Take profits. Or if the price drops by a lot 2 minutes in, then buy, you know, stop loss. So there's a lot of different things. And very similarly to getting going as a trader, you can do the same thing as a predictor, right? So there's a README where you git clone the repo, you download it locally, you you know, start with just simple random predictions, and then you pull in the models that we've made easy to get going with, and then running that locally, testing it, and then at some point you can deploy it to Azure and using the remote networks, and then do it for reals, right, with real money. And in all of this stuff, we never ever see your private key, right? You have to set that as an environmental variable if you're trading with the bots or doing predictions with the bots or if you've logged into Binance itself, right? So the summary is Ocean provides clear READMEs for running your own bots.
Yeah, and feels like Predictor actually works well for a lot of different types of audiences, which is would be really interesting to see the community being built around it over time.
But to be clear, there's two very specific types of stakeholders. There's predictors and there's traders, right? Those are the main ones. And predictors tend to be data scientists, and traders are, you know, if you want to trade sort of in a naive fashion, just go for it, right? You don't have to have deep expertise. But as you want to get more sophisticated, then it, you know, it takes more expertise learning and stuff, right? And then, of course, there's the dApp builders, et cetera, who want to use this as a new DeFi primitive as well.
Perfect. We're getting closer towards the end of the AMA. I see there's no more questions here. I'd like to remind everyone that we're going to be organizing workshops around Predictor, just to dive deeper into the use case, but also to perhaps support you guys and everyone that is interested in playing around with the dApp and the contracts. So the first one will be on September 27th at 5 p.m. Berlin time. But then we're also going to be announcing more via Twitter. So if there's no more questions, let's see in the chat. Actually, I think we forgot one. Which is more, I think it might have been responded already, but it's more about, you know, the what are the sole benefits of predictions aside from market prices from Chief Audet. So just reading it out, what will be the sole benefits of predictions beside upfront market prices?
Yeah, it's a great question. So within the world of DeFi, to expand scope, you could have predictions for volatility and other data feeds that give you alpha in different ways as traders. Those predictions also, you know, might enable people to do new sorts of DeFi tools, you know, things like Aave and Compound. They have to be collateralized 180% typically. But what if you could make it more efficient to say 150% or lower, simply because you have better predictions of what might happen, right? And we do expect derivatives and options and otherwise built on top of this. So that's within DeFi. Outside of that, you know, I opened this conversation talking about the example from the world of farming, where farmers live and breathe by predictions for the weather, rain especially, but also temperature and sometimes a bit of wind. And then another big one is energy. So there's, you know, Enron went bust, whatever, 20 years ago, but they were doing energy trading and they were onto something, and now energy trading has become a huge thing. And we, so being able to predict the price of energy is a big thing, and there's actually even some people in the world that do that for a living. So if there were feeds for the price of energy in, say, Germany, that affects, you know, you can trade against that as well. But then those predictions are highly useful for grid stability. We saw, for example, was it a week and a half ago, where Texas got super hot. So everyone had their air conditioners on and energy usage spiked, energy prices spiked. So the government of Texas called on the Bitcoin miners to stop running their miners for a while in order to stabilize the energy supply. And so, you know, in this case, Bitcoin served as a very nice tool to help stabilize the grid. But predictions for energy prices would also be extremely useful, you know, 5 minutes ahead, 1 hour ahead, 1 day ahead. And then, of course, what feeds into those predictions is things like predictions for temperature, because that's what drives air conditioning, or predictions for wind if you have a grid that uses a lot of wind energy, right? And so on. Another one is real estate, right? For predictions, you know, 1 day out, 1 month out, et cetera, where this can be governed by, you know, say in Miami, I've given examples of this too. Over time, you know, sea level rising is very, very bad for the future of Miami. 30 years or 80 years from now, a lot of Southern Florida is going to be underwater. So when exactly will that drive down housing prices? We don't know. But, you know, that's more of a medium and longer term time frame. But that's another example. So, you know, transportation and logistics, right? If you are a manufacturer of, you know, USB chargers, what is the demand that you can expect, you know, 1 week from now, 1 month from now, et cetera? And what are the factors that influence that? So there's all these different things. And this is why, you know, hedge funds famously buy lots of different data feeds from lots of different places so that they can do their predictions internally. But they don't make them public because they're not incentivized to. Same thing with insurance companies. They have, you know, data scientists who are so good at predictions. They do this all day, and they even have their own title called actuary. And it's, you know, a title much older than even the word data scientist, right? But insurance companies and hedge funds are among the few organizations out there that do predictions for reals, where there's real money on the line. But in their case, those feeds are not public. So they're accountable internally, but you can't buy those feeds. So that's the thing here. You know, how do you take and have feeds at the quality level that hedge funds or insurance companies have, but make it available to a much broader public, to anyone who comes along in a permissionless fashion? And that's what predictors are about. So to summarize, you know, within DeFi, there's use cases beyond just prices, such as volatility. And then outside of that, I gave examples in farming with weather prediction, in energy with also weather prediction, temperature, and more. And for energy, of course, it's related to grid stability, as well as prices, right? German energy prices spiked this past winter when it got really cold and Germany had turned off its nuclear reactors, hadn't spun up its coal again. And I shake my head, yes. And, you know, and transportation, logistics, et cetera, et cetera. So, and overall, we envision actually that predictor could unlock tens of thousands of data feeds throughout the world. A couple more examples. For weather, there's large gaps of Africa where people don't predict the weather at all. They don't predict the rain or the temperature or whatever because it's not enough in local incentive. Interestingly, though, because there's gaps in weather prediction there, it affects the accuracy of weather elsewhere. So now, though, imagine flipping around. imagine you actually had a prediction for rain at a super local level, hyper local level, where it's every square kilometer gets its own prediction for rain 1 hour from now, 24 hours from now, and including Africa, including the rest of the world. That could be extremely useful to help model longer term weather predictions, storms, hurricanes, all this sort of thing, as well as help to raise Africa, et cetera, right? And by the way, in Africa, it's not even that expensive to start measuring this stuff. There's a technology that was developed where you can have little boxes attached to energy transmission lines that can, from that, can actually measure the key indicators around weather. It just hasn't been done yet because it hasn't been enough incentive. But with Predictor, that might be enough incentive to move the needle. So that summarizes. We're very excited about where Predictor could go. But of course, we have to take one step at a time. And that's why we focused on DeFi first, where it's very short time to value, to value creation, to making money, as well as a large market. But we do plan to expand aggressively beyond it.
Thanks, Trent. We're going to be taking two more questions. You mentioned Africa and cost. Do you reckon the prediction, the cost of the feeds will remain at Three Ocean, or is there a chance that it will vary based on supply and demand?
More likely the latter, right? Question of how do you price data is a longstanding question. There's been dozens, if not hundreds, of papers published about this, and we've thought about it a lot internally. Even with Ocean V3, our answer to that was saying, we've tokenized the data as ERC-20 tokens, so let's put them into pools and let the price automatically get determined, right? But then we found that people were spending a bit too much time on speculation around the prices and not the actual value in consuming the data. So we pulled back on that. But overall, there's still a great value. The market should set the flat supply and demand. So we could just, ourselves change the prices over time as we see supply and demand. But there's lots of other potential ideas, right? We could have it where there's actually really two types of feeds here. One is where whoever purchases that feed can use it and really move the needle, like themselves. So if you purchase a feed for, say Doge USDT, and you're spending a lot of money to bet on this, you could influence the price of Doge, right? So you don't want to have 10 or 30 other people. So we could make it where, say, every 24 hours, there's an auction to get exactly one data token that's sold for the next 24 hours, right? That's one example. Or you could make it for 5 or 10 tokens. And, a Dutch auction is just one example, but there's lots of other ways, blinding curves, et cetera, right? Where a blinding curve, maybe the price doubles with each new purchase. And then as they get consumed, the price goes down again. There's other feeds, though, where even if there's 100 consumers of it or 1,000 consumers, it's not going to influence the feed itself. And this might, examples of this are things like rain and temperature prediction, right? At least it won't influence in the near term, right? People could do all sorts of geoengineering, I suppose. But so for that one, it also is supply and demand. But in this case, there's no benefit to having a low number of tokens. It's sort of, replaceable, right? So that's the summary. Is we're starting with very simple prices, Three Ocean for 24 hours, which works out to $1.
Can I ask you something?
Yeah.
Okay. I know about the OASI protocol. Is stuff from the Maker DAO, right? So where should I start?
Hey, Azim.
I think there's some confusion with the Oasis app that was used for Maker DAO. I think loans. Yeah. So this is the Oasis network. We are layer one blockchain focused on privacy.
For the first time, I joined blockchain. I used the Oasis wallet and then MakerDAO and use the DAI token.
Yeah, thanks, Azim, but that's not it.
That's why I want to ask you. And then Oasis, I know Oasis protocol go to the user's web with the rules or using the OK exchange. What about that?
Yeah, I guess names can get confusing sometimes, but Azim, I can get back to you via chat, just in case to clarify any of the doubts there. And as to Trent, that you're just finishing, so basically the prices of the prediction feeds will change over time. That will be probably most likely not remain three, but it'll just be variable.
Yeah, and to emphasize that, right? Expect.
I would think...
Just wait, Azim, please. Andrea will get back to you later, so we want to move on with other questions. Thank you. So Andrea, on your point too, right? Because we're leveraging the Ocean Protocol stack, we have these data NFTs, we have these data tokens, which are, you know, naturally, well, NFTs, ERC-721, and tokens, ERC-20. It allows us to very readily do many experiments around price setting, right? Leveraging all these tools of the past, whether they're pools like Uniswap or Balancer or otherwise pools, or bonding curves, Simon de Louvrier style, or auctions, you know, Dutch auctions, English auctions, channel auctions, and lots of other ideas, right? As well as even with fixed price, you can, you know, algorithmically change the price over time, right? Not on chain, but off chain based on supply and demand, et cetera. So there's a lot of options, and we look forward to exploring that over time. And ultimately, our aim is to make sure that everyone's making money in this, right? The predictors are making money with the feeds that they sell, as well as traders are making money with the alpha they're getting from the feeds.
Thank you so much. All right, so last question. We've got Rich Kid on board, on the stage. So mic is yours. Welcome to the stage. Okay, I guess Rich Kid also, he's on stage, but he also asked two questions. So I'm not sure if you're muted right now. Okay, go for it.
Okay, so I wasn't here on this space earlier. I was not on other space, so I came to this space now, at least a few minutes back. I was more of like asking, with the Predator, based on what I've heard so far for Predator, I was more of like asking, would there be like a better version of this where any user can test it? And most especially, our young, because most especially this AI machine for trading aspects. I'd like to ask, what are the time limit for when data are being updated?
So just to see if the question is right, basically you're asking if there's the if the beta version can be already tested before the final launch.
Yes, that's what I was asking. And another thing is the time frame for when each new data are being posted. Because most AI machine that deal with trading aspects, most of them, sometimes it can be 4 hours, 3 hours. So I wanted to know, for the predictor, what would be the hourly or the time frame?
So I'm just going to answer Andrea's question because I apologize. I didn't quite understand what you said. Right now, Predictor is live on testnet. So if you go to predictor.ai, it shows feeds that are from bots running, and these bots that are running right now are giving random predictions, right? So on average, the accuracy will be 50%, maybe 48%, maybe 52%, depending, you know, what's happened over the last 24 hours. Things are a bit lumpy sometimes, right? But by the time the mainnet goes live, which is in about 3 weeks, then you will see real predictions coming in there from not just random. You know, it's not very wise to do random predictions. You will see predictions where the bots themselves are using AI models with, you know, even the Ocean ones that will be running will have 53 to 65% accuracy, right? And then, you know, people can stake against that, et cetera. So in the next few weeks, you know, you can use, you know, go to predictor.ai and play. And as well, go to click on the Run Bots button on the top right. It will take you to this GitHub repo, PDR backend, where you can play with the code, right? You can run to play with code to run a trading bot or to run a predictor bot, as well as with these bots to make them better for yourself, right? To have fancier AI algorithms, to use more data feeds, whatever you want.
Thanks, Ren. All right, we're getting closer to the end of the AMA. Just going to ask you guys if there's any closing remarks from Matej or Trent before I just close it.
Yeah, thanks, Andrea. I just wanted to add that, we already saw in the blog post and the announcements that Ocean will be dedicating a portion of the Ocean tokens per week for the data farming challenges. And I can say that Oasis is also going to add some Rose tokens to those rewards. So we're joining in in the challenges to help incentivize the user to get started to predict it.
Yay, welcome. Nice, Matej. That was good. That was a good closing remark. nice one. All right, guys. Well, thanks everyone for making the time. There's a huge attendee list here. A lot of questions, more than I expected, but it was really good. If you guys have any more questions about, you know, Predictor, feel free to enter our Discord or just drop a DM. Don't forget about the workshops. They're going to be scheduled in Discord and announced via Twitter as well. And also, if you guys have any questions about Oasis, feel free to DM Matej or just go directly into the docs. That being said, thanks everyone, and to the next AMA.
Thank you for having us. Bye.
Thank you, everyone.